Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have come to the final posture of Salah, the Qada Akhira, and we have come to the aspect of Salam. And we said that this coming out of Namaz, this is a fard of Namaz. And the sunnah way of coming out of Namaz is that a person must say the Salam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So in the previous times, as I explained, you said that in the previous times, the women, they had this notion or this misunderstanding that if you call your husband by his name, then a talaq takes place. So people used to think like that, well, there is no such thing, that if you call your husband by his name, then talaq takes place. So there was this particular wife, her husband's name was Rahmatullah. So now she didn't know how to make salam, because if I'm going to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, a talaq is going to take place. So she had a daughter, so the daughter's name was Kunniya. So she used to say Assalamu alaikum Kunniya ka Abba, and in that way she used to make salam. So the fuqaha have written, they say that for a woman to call a husband by the name, this is makruh. A woman mustn't call the husband by the name. And this has become norm in society. For the woman to call the husband by her name is norm today. Whereas this is makruh. So the fuqaha have written, Allama Shami rahmatullahi has also written this, Mufti Abdul Rahim Lajpuri rahmatullahi, he has written his fatawa rahimiya also. He says that the husband, if he's a hafiz al-Quran, then must refer to him as hafiz up. If he's a molana, refer to him, call him molana or qarisa, whatever the case may be. Or if he's none of that, then the word in Arabic become ya sayyidi, that oh my master. Today which woman is going to say oh my master? So you'll have to make her the master. So anyway, so this is makruh, the ulama have written. Then one aspect, we going on to the salam, that how a person should make niyyah, that's what we have started. But before we go there, one aspect hasn't been discussed in this kitab. That we came to the aspect where we mentioned that at-tahiyyat, and after at-tahiyyat, then came the durood, and we explained the translation of the durood as well. Then after the durood, what we normally read in our salah is, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. That, oh Allah, verily I have oppressed myself. I have done a great wrong to myself. And not just any wrong, zulman kathira, a lot of wrong I have done to myself. Zulman kathira. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant, and none can forgive my gunas except you, Allah. Faghfir li maghfiratan min indik, forgive me a complete forgiveness from your side. Warhamni, and Allah have mercy on me. Innaka antal ghafurur rahim, you are most forgiving and most merciful. So yeah, a person, he made the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, he came into the court of Allah, he was in conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And after completing that entire salah, being in conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he praised Allah Ta'ala, he made the tadbir of Allah, the tahmid of Allah. And then he's saying, oh Allah, I have done a great wrong. That what is this? That this is a person realizes that, oh Allah, how salah is supposed to be performed. I haven't fulfilled the haqq of salah. A person can be the greatest qari in the world. He reads Quran most beautifully. His pronunciation, tajweed, maharij, everything is 100% in order. Even that qarisav cannot fulfill the right of Quran. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala whole night. And then he used to say, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. Wallah, we haven't made your ibadat. In the manner we're supposed to be making your ibadat, we haven't done. Wa ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifatik. Wallah, we haven't recognized you in the manner we're supposed to recognize you. So who can fulfill the haqq of Allah Ta'ala? Who can fulfill the right of salah? That is why in the end of salah also, we ask forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And we know our salah is full of weakness. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his whole life, from the time of Nubuwwah, so to say, Nabi alayhi salam had no rest, fikr of this ummah all the time. At the end of the life of Nabi alayhi salam, he was 100% successful in his mission. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْ. When the help of Allah and victory comes, Allah Ta'ala says that how did people enter into Islam? Not one individual, not two individuals. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. Groups upon groups, tribes upon tribes, entering now into the fold of Islam. At that time, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had completed the mission of his life, he reached the end of his life. What Quran says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. Make the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala now. And together with that, make istighfar, seek forgiveness from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So that's the instruction given to Nabi alayhi salam. That is why ulama have written also that after we complete our salah, a person should read, سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اِخْفِرْ لِي. Praise Allah, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ رَبَّنَا وَبِحَمْدِكَ اللَّهُمَّ اِخْفِرْ لِي. That all praise be to you, all glory be to you, Allah. Oh Allah, you forgive me. So there also is istighfar. In the Quran also we find that Sahaba ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, that what were the condition? Quran says kanu qalilan min al-layli ma yahja'un. Sahaba at night very little they used to sleep. The whole night used to be spent in the ibadah of Allah Ta'ala, in tahajjud namaz. But Sahaba wa bil atharihum yastaghfirun, at the time of tahri they asking Allah Ta'ala forgiveness. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, what is the reason for this? That they did not steal, did not commit adultery, they didn't do any wrong. But years after the whole night ibadat, وَبِنْ أَصْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, at the time of tahri, they're making istighfar, they're seeking forgiveness. Nabi alayhi salam mentioned the same thing here. He says that the right of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, in the manner we're supposed to be making ibadat of Allah ta'ala, we could not fulfill that right. That is why, at the time of tahri, they used to make istighfar. In another verse, Allah ta'ala also mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا, those that spend the wealth Allah ta'ala had given them, they spend in the path of Allah. But after spending in the path of Allah, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ, their hearts are shaking, their hearts are trembling all the time, fearing, أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ, they have to return to Allah. Is it accepted in the court of Allah? We don't know. A person that he's written his metric exam, final year exam, but after writing the final year exam, he still hasn't got the report in his hand. He hasn't got the report, but he's enjoying, he's rejoicing, he's partying now. He's got a party. So we say, "Bhai, you don't know whether you fail or you pass. When you get your report and your report says pass, now is the time for you to enjoy. Now to say, Alhamdulillah, I have made it. I have passed my exam now." So exactly the same way in this dunya, we are doing all our amal. Namaz also we're reading. Roza also we're keeping. All our nawafil we are doing also. Zakat also we're paying. Hajj also we're performing. Is it accepted or not? We don't know. We have great hope. Allah Ta'ala is most merciful. Definitely, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will accept from a person. But until we do not get our report on the day of Qiyamah, we will get our report. Until then, a person cannot rejoice. A person cannot be happy. As Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Phulpuri rahmatullah used to give this example. And used to say that there was a girl. And this girl, she was getting married. So in the previous days, when a girl was getting married, would get married, then all the ladies in the village, they will get together. And they will adorn this girl up. They will do her up and put on the best clothing for her, jewelry. Then they will do her hair, etc. All this they will do for that girl. And now when she is dolled up, what we will say, now she is ready. So now they'll say, see how you look, how beautiful you look. So this girl, she started crying. She said, why are you crying? You look so good. You're getting married. She says that you people are praising me. What your praise is going to help me? When my husband sees me and my husband praises me and my husband is happy with me, then I can get happy that now my husband is happy with me. So in dunya, people will say, you Hazrat, you like this, so much ibadat. All these praises of people is absolutely nothing. It is absolutely nothing. It is zero. When Allah Ta'ala praises, when Allah Ta'ala says, oh my banda, I have accepted you. So that is a time of acceptance. That is why when we come for salah also, when we in the masjid, we read our namaz, but read it in jamaat. When we in jamaat, at the end of our salah, when we leaving, see Allah, that my namaz is, I know what is the condition of my namaz. Where can I read a perfect namaz? But so many pious people have come. We think everyone else must be pious. Wallah, so many pious people have come. And through the barakat of all these pious people that have come, you accept my namaz also. Wallah, every ibadat must be in this way. That hajj also, a person goes for hajj. They also, a person, he done everything. He tried to do it according to sunnah. But at the end, he must say, oh Allah, I have come for hajj. And oh Allah, my hajj, I know what is the condition. It has no value. But all these pious people, so many pious people throughout the world have come here. Oh Allah, through them, you accept our hajj. As the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi has written the incident where that one particular person, he fell asleep. And in his sleep, he saw the dream. There were two malaika, two angels that were talking to one another. So one angel telling the other angel, said, how many people came for hajj? So he said, 600,000 people came for hajj. The other one said, how many people's hajj was accepted? He said, only 6 people's hajj was accepted. But the other angel then said, through the barakat of the 6 people, that Allah Ta'ala accepted the hajj of 600,000 people. Normally when a person goes for hajj, when we have to pell the jamarat, that's on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is our day of Eid, yeah, Bakr Eid. So that day we start pelting the first jamarat. Now all the stones that you pick up, where do you pick it up from? You pick it up in Muzdalifah. At night you pick it up in Muzdalifah. You can't pick up there by the jamarat. It's makruh to pick it up there in Mina. You pick it up in Muzdalifah. And you come to the jamarat in Mina. And then you pelt in Mina. So all these years, so many years, people have been performing hajj. Where are all those stones? Today there would have been mountains of stone over there. Everyone is carrying 49 stones. And every year in and year out, millions of people are pelting. There would have been a mountain of stones. But those people whose hajj is accepted, it is mentioned an angel comes. And these angels, they pick up those stones. Nowadays, now when we went, we saw bulldozers moving those stones. This is Allah Ta'ala, save us. This is the reality of it. So when we go to these places, we make dua, Ya Allah, all these people that are here, they are pious. Through their barakat, Ya Allah, you accept. So this is one of the benefits of our reading salah also with jamaat. Is that Mawlana Ahmadullah Sahib, very great Shaykhul Hadith, he was in Randir. In his kitab, he has written a particular incident. He said one person was going for Hajj. So he was an elderly person. He actually, initially he saw a group of boys. So this group of boys, they were going for Hajj. So he asked them, where are you all going? He said, no, we're going to Makkah Sharif, we're going to perform Hajj. So he said that, take me also with, won't you take me also? So they saw he's a good, jolly old man. Here we can make some fun with him, enjoy ourselves with him. So they took him. What we will say, bola bala. Somebody that was simple-minded. So you can make mockery of him, make fun of him and take him. You'll enjoy yourself with him. So they said, take the old man with us. So they went, they took him for Hajj. They took care of him, everything. Now when Hajj was over, they said, we're going to trick the old man. So how are we going to trick him? So they all brought one piece of paper each. And when Hajj was over, now they were waiting for him. When he finished his final tawaf, ziyarat, tawaf, wida, now he came. They say, you got your certificate. They say, what certificate? They say, the certificate that your Hajj has been accepted. They say, I never get no certificate. They all took out the pages now. Each one is saying, see, we got a certificate. Our Hajj is accepted. You haven't got certificate. So the old man, he was sincere. So when he went under the Mizab-e Rahmat. He held the Khilaf of the Kaaba. And he started crying and making dua, Ya Allah, everyone got a certificate, the Hajj is accepted. I haven't got a certificate, but my Hajj been accepted. From the heavens, Allah Ta'ala sent down the paper. And on that, it was written with Noor, Ya Abdi taqabbaltu hajjak, wa bika taqabbaltu hajja jami' al-hujjaj. Oh my servant, I accepted your Hajj. And through your barakat, all the people that came for Hajj this year, I accepted all of this Hajj. And then in the kitab it is written that this was written not with a pen, this was written with Noor. And whichever way you turn the paper, if you turn it in the opposite way, you will read it straight. Any way you can turn the paper, you will be able to read it straight. So that is why sometimes the weak people come. Don't look down upon these people. Through them Allah Ta'ala's rahmat comes. And through them Allah Ta'ala accepts us also. Innama turzakun, the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, innama turzakun bidu'asaikum. That because of the weak people that are amongst you, Allah Ta'ala gives you rozi also. Sometimes you think that I am working. And at home you got one brother, perhaps he's in the wheelchair. Or sometimes a daughter has been divorced. Now she's come home with four children. She's sitting in the home with four children. So what we think to ourselves? We think that she's now a burden to us. Allah Ta'ala makes it such because she's weak. In fact, spending on her is double thawab. That daughter that is divorced and has come back and she's in your home, spending on her is double reward. So now you think that she's a burden on me, I'm spending on her. Or that brother that's now in the wheelchair, he's paralyzed, I'm spending on him. No, it is through their barakat, Allah Ta'ala is giving us this, Allah Ta'ala is giving us sustenance. There was one student in the madrasa, he was from Canada. So once he explained to me, he's gone back to his country. So he explained to me once, he said that my brother was paralyzed, he said he was in the wheelchair. And my father used to do everything, he used to make the khidmat of my brother, everything my father used to do. So he said that then after some time the brother passed away. He says when my brother passed away, all that energy, my father had all the energy to pick him up. He used to bath him, put on his clothes, everything he used to do for him. He says the day he passed away, the next day my father lost all his energy. He was finished after that. So as long as he was living, Allah Ta'ala had given my father all the energy. That's what was explained sometimes, that the ustad that he's teaching in the madrasa, he is, mashallah, learning at night, teaching the next day, he's doing so much of effort, so much of khidmat of deen. But as long as he is teaching, he must think that the students, they are doing ihsan to me. They are doing me a favor. If the students are not here, who am I going to impart my knowledge to? I got nobody to impart my knowledge to. On the other side, the student that is there, he must think the other way around. He must think that the ustad, he is doing a great ihsan to me. If the ustad was not here, who was going to give me knowledge? So each one look at the other person and what favor we are enjoying because of that particular person. So namaz also, when we come to the end of our salah, a person, he makes istighfar, he seeks forgiveness from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us this understanding. Then we said that in regards to a person that is a munfarid. Munfarid is a person, he's reading namaz alone. For some reason he didn't read with jamaat, he was traveling, whatever the case may be, and he was reading his namaz alone. So at that time, very many a time this question comes to my mind now, we're just saying about traveling, that many people ask that when you're traveling, does a person, can he read the sunnah or he mustn't read the sunnah? So here, if it's such a travel that a person is in a hurry, he has to reach a particular location, he doesn't have time to stop. Then in that case, because in a hurry, you got an appointment at a certain time and you got to reach destination. So for this person, he doesn't have to reach the sunnah. He can just, if it's obviously if it's safar distance, 77 kilometers or more, then he just reads the faraz and the person then carries on. But for a person that's got ample time, many a time we are stopping somewhere, now we're going to eat there, we spend half an hour, 1 hour there. So for that person that's got sufficient time, the sunnahs don't drop off for a person. The sunnahs for that person also, whilst in safar, he should read these sunnahs. And there's great reward for this. So a person that is a munfarid, when he's making salam to his right, there is nobody else, he's reading namaz alone. So he will make niyat of the kiram and katibin that are on his right, and the malaika. And similarly to his left, he will make niyat of the kiram and katibin and the malaika. Further he says, or muqtadi jo imam ke piche barabar hai. That muqtadi that is standing behind the imam, normally where the muazzin stands behind the imam, that's not the place for reserved for the muazzin. In the masjid, any person can sit anywhere. That is why a person in the masjid also, you can't come and put your shawl or your topi or your hanky and reserve that place. Yes, fuqaha have written that if a person was sitting there already, and then his wudu broke, he had to go make wudu, he had to go toilet and come back, so he's gone for that 5 minutes, for that 10 minutes, yes, by all means, then you can leave it, you go and you come back. But for a person to come and put his towel here or his shawl here, and then he's having a good rest, and then 1 hour later he comes and he sits down, no, that's not the asal maqsad, is for a person to come early to the masjid. So that person that is directly behind the imam, so whether it's the muazzin or whether it's somebody else, if somebody has taken the place, the muazzin will stand somewhere else. Like in here, mashallah, in Darulum, sometimes the muazzin is in the back and it's calling the iqama from the back. But generally in the masajid, in our localities, the place directly behind the imam, that is reserved for the muazzin. So here he says that that person that is directly behind the imam, when he will make salam, then when he makes salam to his right, then all the muqtadis that are on his right, he must make niyat of those muqtadis. And the malaika, all the angels, etc. that are on his right, he will make niyat of those angels. And in this kitab it doesn't come, but in other kitab it comes, that when you're making salam, that person that is behind the imam, when he's making salam to the right, he's going to make niyat of the muqtadis on the right and the malaika and the angels. He must also make niyat of the imam when he's going to the, because he's directly behind the imam. So he must make niyat of the imam as well. And then when he makes salam to the left, he will make niyat of all the malaika that are on the left and all the muqtadis that are on the left. And also the imam again, when he's making salam to the left, he must make niyat of the imam as well. Here he doesn't bring this point, but in other kitabs of fiqh it is mentioned that you make niyat of the imam in both directions, to the right also and to the left also. So this is what he says, or muqtadi jo imam ke piche barabar hai, aur daaye taraf wale muqtadi aur farishto ki niyat kare, aur isi tarah baaye taraf ke salam mein imam اور بائی مقتدی اور فرشتوں کی نیت کریں. اور جو مقتدی کے امام کے دائیں ہے, now that مقتدی that is on the right hand side of the imam, he is on the right of the imam. So when he is on the right of the imam, when he will make salam to his right hand side. So a person, if the imam is here, so that's on his right hand side. So when he makes salam to the right, who is he making salam to? The muqtadis that are on that side and the malaika on that side. And when he makes salam to the left, then he will make niyat of the muqtadis on the left, the imam that is on the left, and and all the malaika that are on the left. So depending on which side of, when you make salam, which side the imam is, whether he is the right or whether he is the left, according to that, you will make the niyat of the imam. And the muqtadis will be on both sides, so you will make niyat of the muqtadis in both directions, and the malaika that are in both directions. Except for that person that is standing, for example, at the end of the saf. He is right on the end of the saf. So if he is on the end of the saf, for example, and now he has to make salam. So if he is making salam, for example, if he is on the end of the saf and he makes salam to the right, there's nobody on his right. So there he will only make niyat of the malaika. And then when he makes salam to the left, then he makes salam to all the muqtadis that are there, the malaika that is there, and to the imam that is there as well. Similarly, a person that is right in the end, on the left, when he makes salam on his left, then on his left, there is only malaika that are there. And on his right will be the imam, will be the muqtadis, and will be the malaika. So this is basically how a person should make niyat when he makes salam. Now here, there are two systems of Allah Ta'ala in the world. The one system of Allah Ta'ala that is in the world is the system of what we call cause and effect. What we know of, for example, a person is hungry. So he takes food and he eats food. So this is going to fill his stomach. This is what we call cause and effect. A person that is now thirsty, so he drinks water. Now when he drinks that water, that thirst of his is going to be quenched. If a person is sick, so he gets medication, his head is paining, so he takes the panado, and now through the understanding of cause and effect, that I took the panado, now the headache is gone. But this is just the system of cause and effect. There is a system that is above this system and overrides the system of cause and effect. You can eat that food and that food doesn't digest. Now that same food which you thought supposed to fill your stomach, you are now throwing it up. Now a person is sick. Or there's food poisoning in that food. Now he ate that food, now he ends up in hospital. So instead of filling the stomach, what happened? Now it became harmful to a person. A person, he thought that I'm going to take medication. But only when Allah Ta'ala puts effect in the medication, then the medication is going to take effect. For example, a doctor, he gives a particular medication, two patients got the same sickness. He gives the two the same medication. For one it works, for the other one it doesn't work. Why? For the one that it works, Allah Ta'ala put effect there. And for the one that it doesn't work, Allah Ta'ala had taken out the effect. The effect wasn't there. That is why it didn't work. So the system of Allah Ta'ala is above this. That everything is from Allah Ta'ala. The food is the sabab. But to fill the stomach, that is from Allah Ta'ala. A person, he went to sleep, he lay down. And he had a few minutes sleep. And he wakes up fresh. Where did that freshness come from? That came from Allah Ta'ala. So this is a system that is above the system of cause and effect. When we make niyat of the malaika, when we're making our salam, this system of Allah Ta'ala will now open up for us. Not the system of cause and effect. That is the lower system. The higher system is that the system of Allah Ta'ala, this system overrides everything. So therefore when we make our salam, make sure we make the niyat of the malaika, so Allah Ta'ala will open up this system. Now a person has got that connection with Allah Ta'ala, where is going to worry about anybody else? He's got Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Person got Allah, he's got everything in the world. Allah Ta'ala give us this understanding. Then he says, iske baad ek dua parni sunnat hai. Now that a person has made salam, he has finished the final dua, etc. So he says, now to read one dua, it is a sunnat. What is this dua that a person should make? Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Perhaps we all know this dua, which means, ya Allah, tu hi salam hai. Allah, that you are peace. Or tu hi se hai salam. And peace is only from you. Or barakat wala hai. Allah, you are full of barakah. You are full of blessings, O Allah. Tu ay sahib buzruki aur bakhshish ke. Allah, you are the one that is most exalted. And you are the one that is most generous. So this is the meaning of this dua, that Allah Ta'ala is peace. And peace is from Allah. Allah is full of barakah. Allah is most high and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is most generous. So this is the sunnah dua that is to be recited. Now after those namazes where there is no sunnah, where there isn't a sunnah mu'akkada salah. For example, after Fajr there is no sunnah namaz. After Asr there is no sunnah namaz. So after these two namazes, a person, he can make a long dua. A person can make a lengthy dua. However long he wants to make a dua, a person can make a dua. But after the farz namazes, where there is a sunnat muakkada that follows. For example, after Zohar, there is two sunnat muakkada. After Maghrib, there is two sunnat muakkada. After Isha, there is two sunnat muakkada. So there it comes in the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make this dua. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Some riwayat come, la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumeet biyadihil khair wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. So this has comes in some riwayat. So immediately after that, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wouldn't delay. After this much, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, or the fourth kalima, immediately Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would now perform the sunnah salah. Why? The sunnah that is performed after the farad, this is actually a takmila. It is a completion of the farz namaz. In the farz namaz, sometimes there is deficiency. Our mistakes are there, our deficiencies are there. But by reading the sunnah namaz, that deficiency and that shortfall that was left in the farz namaz, that is now completed by reading the sunnah namaz. That is why a person cannot delay. I was explained that on occasion, Mawlana Madni Rahmatullah Alayh, one of his murid, he was reading the Tasbihat. Many people after the Farz, they read Tasbih-e-Fatimi. Now Tasbih-e-Fatimi, a person must read, but not immediately after the Farz where there is Sunnat. After Zohar, after Maghrib, after Isha. There a person shouldn't read Tasbih-e-Fatimi. And there are many other wazaif. For example, you read Ayatul Kursi. After every Farz namaz, there is no barrier between that person and Jannat, except Maut. A person that reads Ayatul Kursi, after every Farz namaz, there is no barrier, there is no blockage between him and Jannat except death. Meaning he dies and direct he goes into Jannat because he reads Ayatul Kursi. So there are many, many such ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So Hazrat Madni rahmatullahi reprimanded his murid that don't read this these wazayat now immediately after the Farz namaz. So Hazrat said that on occasion, he also couldn't understand this. So he said that when Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullahi was here, he was in Indonesia. So he asked him in the car when they were going, he said, Hazrat, that before I forget, one masla, is that if anyone went out in these 10 days out of the masjid boundary, or you spoke to somebody, you stopped and spoke, or a person read the pamphlet, something, anything of that sort, whether it was done intentionally, unintentionally, perhaps all this was discussed, the i'tikaf becomes invalid. Even for one moment, a person can only leave for his need. For example, wudu, or he had to go to the toilet, or it was a farz ghusl, etc. Anyone went for a nafil ghusl, then immediately the i'tikaf becomes invalid. So if anyone's i'tikaf became invalid for any reason, then you still got one more day. That qaza has to be made. And the qaza of it is that a person, he has to spend one day in the masjid, and with that there must be a fast. So from tonight, maghrib time, there's only one day left. So this one day that is left, anyone's i'tikaf was invalid, make the niyat. From today maghrib till tomorrow maghrib, you stay in the masjid and everyone is fasting. So that qaza will then be sorted out. So Hazrat was saying, so he asked the Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah in the car, he said, Hazrat, why is it that, Hazrat Madni Rahmatullah also explained this, that why is it that a person, he shouldn't read his wazifa immediately after the farz namaz, but first you finish your sunnah, and after your sunnah, after the two sunnat muakkada, now you can read Tasbih Fatimi, now you can read your Ayatul Kursi, whatever you want to read after the sunnat. So then Hazrat explained this point, that this farz, this is actually a completion, the sunnat is a completion of the farz. That is why there shouldn't be a gap between the two of them. Now we look at the hadith, and we just see in the hadith written, Ba'd al-Maktuba, after the farz. The fuqaha don't look at one hadith. When the fuqaha come to a conclusion in any masla of deen, we look at one hadith and we come to the conclusion. No, the fuqaha don't look at one hadith. The fuqaha look at all the ahadith under that subject matter. If there's 50 hadith, there's 100 ahadith, 200 ahadith, how many ahadith there are, they study all the ahadith. And after studying all the ahadith, they come to a conclusion in that particular matter. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, he had a panel of 40 muftis. Before anything became a law of Shariat, it had to go through all 40 muftis. When the 40 muftis had approved of it, now it became a law of Shariat. So therefore, we don't follow a hadith. We are not Ahli Hadith. We are Muqallids. We follow the Fuqaha. And what is Taqlid? Taqlid is to put your hand into the hand of any of the Imams of Fiqh. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi. You put your hand into their hand without asking them what is your proof. Although they have the proof, all the proofs are present. But a Muqallid is that person that follows them without asking them for any proof. And in this is our safety. Tomorrow if we made amal on a certain masla of Shariat, and on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Ta'ala has to ask us that why this masla of Shariat, we'll tell we made taqleed. Oh Allah, we followed Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. We are not answerable. Leave it onto the Imam. It's on the Imam's responsibility now. So that, therefore, if a person, he is reading these wazayif, no problem. Read your wazayif. But after the sunnah salah. So this is the dua that a person reads immediately after the farz salah. This is also a great ni'mat, also a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given us this great gift of dua. Our Hazrat explained, he says that we should make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, make me a man of dua. That whenever I get an opportunity, now dua starts flowing from a person. Many people, our Hazrat says that they can't make dua. They say, but what dua must I make? There's so much to ask from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So many du'as a person can make. Some people don't have enough time to make du'a. He says that there was one particular person in reunion. The Rawat family, they own practically half of reunion. So much they own in reunion. He says, but in spite of being so rich, what need would he have? All the wealth, everything is present. He says, but 3 hours he used to sit in the masjid, and 3 hours he used to make du'a to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So this du'a is a very, very great thing. In dunya, a person tells you, "Ke kaam ho to ke jo," that you got work, come, tell me, I'll do it for you. Everyone will say that. When the work comes and you go there, then see whether it really happens or not. And if it happens, maybe the first time, maybe the second time. After the third time, no, it's over. This is the last time I can help you. I can't help you after that. Quran also says that those people that come to do not pay the zakat. Quran says that on the day of Qiyamah, when they will be given azab, 3 parts of their body will be burnt. يَوْمَ يُحْمَ عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says the forehead of a person. وَظُهُورُهُمْ, the side of a person. وَجُنُوبُهُمْ, the back of a person. Those Mufassirin have written, why these 3 parts of the body have been particularly mentioned? They say, because for this reason, when in those days they used to have a zakat collector. Like how we have those collectors today. So in the previous time there were zakat collectors. So the zakat collector, when he comes to you, when he comes to you first, that person has to pay zakat. It's difficult for a person. So what happens? There's a frown now on the forehead. That, oh, now the zakat collector came, I have to pay. Now when the zakat collector, he puts a little bit of puts some pressure onto you that no, you must pay your zakat, give this, give that. Now a person, he turns his back, and then when he puts more pressure on you, now a person, he will completely turn away and he walks away from the person. So on the day of Qiyamah, these three paths in particularly will be branded, will be heated up in the fire of Jahannam. So this is people of dunya. In one poem, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi says, he says, "Ye dunya wale be wafa hai," that the people of dunya, they are not loyal to you. Wafa ki qeemat nahi jante. What do they know? The value of what is loyalty? They don't know what is the value of loyalty. So people in the dunya, they'll say, "No, come, I will help you." But when the time comes, it's a different case. Whereas for Allah Ta'ala, "Man lam yas'alillah yaghdab alayhi." A man that doesn't ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala becomes cross with this person. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala becomes angry with that person. I was explaining, he says that there was his relative, some uncle of this, that were very elderly people. So there were nobody living in the house. Old uncle, old auntie. Now the garden needs to be cleaned. So now you need to call the gardener to come and clean the garden. So now where in this old age, they're going to go and look for the gardener, and then they make a price to the gardener, and the gardener, he'll pay this much, they're going to pay a lower price. So now it's going to be a big problem. So what they used to do, the day they needed a gardener, they'll read 2 rakat namaz. And then they make dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah, I need a gardener. Allah, you send the right gardener to us who's not going to trouble us. And Allah, let him be happy with the price that we offer him. In this way, they used to make dua for a gardener. When the uncle would have to go to hospital, he would have to go for a medical checkup. Before going to the hospital, we will go first to the hospital. Now when the treatment doesn't work, now we'll say, go on the musalla and make dua. What they used to do, they used to make dua to Allah Ta'ala first. That Allah, you take us to the hospital safely. Allah, when we reach the hospital, give us that doctor that will be the best doctor for us. And let that doctor diagnose the correct problem, what the problem is. And then let him prescribe the correct medicine. Because the doctor, he can also make a mistake. He'll see that the problem is something else, whereas the problem is another problem. Or sometimes he'll prescribe this medication, whereas you don't need that medication. You need another medication. So it is to make dua that Allah lets him prescribe also the correct medication. This is that ta'alluq, this is that connection they had with Allah Ta'ala. In the time of Harun or Rashid, that once they had caught 3 thieves. So when they caught the thief, they were taking them to jail. So one thief, he ran away. So when he ran away, they said, now what are we going to do? We have to put somebody else, because there were 3 thieves that we were supposed to take into jail. So one Sufi sahab was going. So they said, caught him and they put him there. So now they took the three of them to jail. So now the 2 of them, they were thieves, they were chores. So now they had their contacts. So they made their contacts, they got out of jail, they were freed. Now the Sufi sahab, he was left in jail. So who is his contact? His contact was Allah Ta'ala. So he turned to Allah, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. When he made dua, Harun al-Rashid saw the dream. When he saw a dream, that man is in jail, go and remove my wali from jail. So he came with his entourage, with all his people, he took him out of jail. And then he told him, that see, with so much of izzat I've taken you out. That person, he told Harun al-Rashid, and Harun al-Rashid was a great king, he was a very pious king also. What he told Harun al-Rashid, he said that you done no favor to me. He said, if you never come and take me out like this, if you never took me out, your whole kingdom would have gone. Because unjustly I was put into prison. This is that connection. When a person is connected to Allah Ta'ala, nothing is going to worry him. He's got Allah. Mullah Jiwan, he wrote the kitab Nurul Anwar. Great alim of deen. Very difficult kitab also. He's mentioned he used to live in a little, what we'll say, shack, tin shanty. So where his tin shanty was, the government wanted to build a bridge. They wanted to build a road there. So they said that he has to move out. So they informed Mullah Jiwan, they said, no, the government is coming with all his army, all the bulldozers and all, they want to cart everything away, move everything down, break all the houses down. So Mullah Jiwan told his khadim, he said, bring my army also. What he brought? He brought the musalla, he brought the miswak, he brought the lota. Now he started his namaz. Somebody went to the governor or king, whoever it was, he said that you don't stand a chance. He is turning to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will wipe you out. Immediately, they changed their route, they went on to another way. So this is how a person's connection should be with Allah Ta'ala. And we don't know whose connection, how high is it with Allah. رُبَّ عَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ مَدْفُوعٍ بِالْأَبْوَابِ لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَأَبَرَّ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. There are many people, you look at them, their hair is this heaven. On their body, there is dust that is on their body. And Nabi alayhi salam says, رُبَّ عَشْعَثَ أَغْبَرَ مَدْفُوعٍ بِالْأَبْوَابِ. When they come to your door, such a person, you won't even call him inside. This person is so low. Look at the clothes that he's wearing. Look at his condition. We're going to bring him inside the house. Matfu'in, they turned away from the doors. But in the court of Allah, their position is so high. If he takes a qasam on Allah, لَوْ أَقْسَمَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, he has to take a qasam. He has to just lift his hand. One dua he makes to Allah, لَأَبَرَّ, that dua is accepted. There's no rain and he lifts his hand, Allah will send down the rain. If there's a problem, he lifts up his hand, Allah Ta'ala will remove that problem. So these are the type of people. There was one person in our that used to come to the Khanqa also. Many years he came here. Mawlana Abdullah Sufi. And he passed away. Allah gave him what a mawt. He passed away on the day of Eid. Whole day, tilawat of Quran. Whole day you see him, he's sitting here in the front. And he's making here in the first staff, he's sitting and making tilawat. When nobody is in the masjid, he comes and sits behind the Imam's musalla. And here he'll sit, and right here he'll sit and he's making tilawat of Quran. Everyone's gone down to eat, he's making his ibadat. When everyone finished eat, now all the food is over. Now he'll go downstairs. And all the leftover, whatever leftover bones and whatever is left over there, that is what he is to go and he is to eat, chew on that. This is, and then Allah Ta'ala gave him maut also on the day of Eid. So this is that dua, this quality of dua must come into our life. And we must make dua, Allah, make me a man of dua. A person that Allah opens his heart to dua. And duas flow from such a person. Make a lot of shukr. A very, very fortunate person, Allah has opened his heart towards dua. So this is a dua a person should make after salah. Hadith ki sahih riwayat mein ye dua, is hi qadar mazkur hai. He says in the authentic books of ahadith, he says that only this much of has been mentioned, that this is the dua that may be recited after the faraz. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam, tabarak tayyadil jalali wal ikram, which I mentioned besides fajr and asr. جاننا چاہے جو یہ بندہ پانچ وقت بیچ دربار عیسے بادشاہ عالی جا کے بے منت اور احسان کسی دوسرے کے حاضر ہو کر سرفراز ہوئے. He says that a person should understand that that person five times a day, you came in the middle of the court of Allah Ta'ala, who is the most high, and without the favor of anyone, you came here. You didn't have to take permission from anyone, and you have been blessed in the court of Allah. So phir lazim hai ke jo apne malik ke samne iqrar kar aaya. Says now understand that it is necessary that when you came before Allah, you confess many things before Allah in that salah five times a day. Is par qaim rahe, what you confess, stay on this, which we explained many times before. Ye nahi ke panch waqt parwardigar ke samne iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in ke aave. This shouldn't be such. Five times a day you came here and you saying, Allah, only you I make ibadat of. Allah, only you I'm seeking help from. Baad iske kisi aur ko pooje, and thereafter you go to somebody else. Or waqt musibat ke kisi aur ko pukare, when you're in difficulty, now you're going to ask somebody else for help. No, dunya people are not going to help you. Person, not that now when he's out of here, now he says that if my car has to meet in an accident, then who's going to pay? I have to subscribe to the insurance policy. And if I'm going to go to hospital, who is going to take care of me? I must have medical aid in today's time. All that is haram. That is all riba, all interest that is involved over there. There are so many people that are driving their car. Some people that have trucks. How many trucks? Maybe 50, 100 trucks they own, whole truck companies. They haven't insured a single truck. There are those people, majority of the people in the world, or in our country we'll say, that they don't have medical aid. They're all getting treatment. Allah Ta'ala takes care of them also. So this is the yaqeen a person should have on Allah Ta'ala. Not in the masjid, Allah, we're asking help from you. And outside the masjid, then now to somebody else. Sometimes people ask third party insurance. What about third party? Is that permissible? Even third party insurance is not permissible. When we came in the world, we had nothing. We came without clothing in the world. Whatever we have today was not our effort. Allah Ta'ala gave it to us. And it is there for us, with us for a short period of time. Tomorrow we will leave the world. All this we're going to leave and go back also. Allah Ta'ala says that the time will come that وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that to Allah Ta'ala is the inheritance of the heaven and the earth. Meaning that whatever you own today is yours. Tomorrow you leave the world, it will go to your children. And after your children, it will go to your grandchildren. But a time will come when the day of Qiyamah will come. And when the day of Qiyamah comes, everyone will have to die. And when everyone dies, all the inheritance of people at that time, who are you going to pass it over to? وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So the inheritance belongs to Allah Ta'ala. So nothing belongs to us, nothing will belong. What we have, what we are using, this Allah Ta'ala has given us, use it in accordance to Sharia. So not only that in Salah, we tell Allah, you are there for us. But even after Salah, we remain on this. Or waqt musibat kisi aur ko pukare aur madad chahe. Aur lazim hai ke jo khuda se dua kare ke ihdina sirat al mustaqim. And here also it is obligatory that in Salah we making dua to Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. So isko tahqeeq kare. Then a person should find out ke sirat al mustaqim ki raah raza mandi haq ke tabarak wa ta'ala ki hai, kya hai. He says that find out that this sirat al mustaqim, this path that Allah Ta'ala is happy with, which I said, this is a shortcut to Allah Ta'ala. This is a shortcut, very quickly, sirat al-mustaqim, a person will reach Allah. Find out what is this path. So I can thread this path and I can also reach Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The next topic he has, in regards to the witr salah. He said, Aur kamal-e-shafqat se is bande ke waaste, parwardigar ne teen rakaat namaz, namaz-e-witr muqarrar farmayi hai. He says, now Allah Ta'ala has favored us five times a day, come into the masjid and perform salah. But he says, that for kamal-e-shafqat, completing the compassion, the affection of Allah Ta'ala on us. Allah Ta'ala says that one more namaz I make obligatory upon you, that 3 rakats witr, this has already also been stipulated for me, for you. Allah Ta'ala to complete His favor upon us, the day of Eid is coming. So on the day of Eid is your day of happiness, O my Banda. But for this happiness, we'll make one more namaz for you. And not only one more namaz, that one namaz will have 6 extra takbir. A person has completed Hajj, a person is going to do Qurbani, that is an occasion of happiness. They also, Allah Ta'ala says, one more ibadat for you. That is the day of Eid, now you need 2 rakat extra namaz. And with 6 extra wajib takbir. So here also Allah Ta'ala says, your 5 namazes is farz on you. But after the 5 namaz, we now to complete our favor on you, we'll put one more namaz for you. Jiske ada karne se banda apne khalik ke samne aziz ho jata hai. And he says, you fulfill this one more namaz, you read your witr namaz, you will become the beloved of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Aur namaz e witr wajib hai upar qawl e sahih ke. And the namaz, the witr salah is wajib according to the correct view. There's difference of opinion over here amongst between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah and his students. This is for the Hanafi mazhab. For the Shafis it is not wajib. For them it is sunnat mu'akkada. But in the Hanafi mazhab also there is a difference of opinion amongst between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah and his students. But the correct view is given on the view of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. In ibadat, the fatwa is always given on the view of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah. So here also the fatwa is given that it is wajib. Or dua-e qunut parna tisri rakat mein ruku se pehle qiraat ke piche wajib hai. And to read dua-e qunut in the 3rd rakat before going into ruku after qiraat is wajib. First you read your surah, then you read surah Fatiha, then you read a surah. After the surah that you read, now you read dua-e qunut. And after dua-e qunut, now you go into ruku. Now this dua-e qunut, to read the dua-e qunut, this is wajib. It is wajib. The witr salah is also wajib, according to the Hanafis. And to read the dua-e qunut, this is also wajib. So what is the dua-e qunut? So this dua-e qunut that we read, Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka, this is the qunut of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. The Shafis, they read a different qunut, we read a different qunut. But it is not obligatory that a person has to read this particular qunut. Say for example, a person, he read some other dua, he doesn't know the dua-e qunut. He read, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. He must learn the qunut, but he didn't know the qunut. So he read, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. So this will also be correct in place of the qunut. The qunut has taken place. So he says, wo dua ye hai, and what is the dua-e qunut? Allahumma inna nasta'inuka wa nastaghfiruka wa nu'minu bika wa natawakkalu alayka wa nusni alayka al-khayr. ونشكرك ولا نكفرك ونخلع ونترك من يفجرك اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفد ونرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك إن عذابك بالكفار ملحق. Inshallah tomorrow we will do the translation of this and we'll complete it, and then tomorrow inshallah we'll do the practical of salah as well. Inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.